Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, discussing, as you know, all things Premier League football. And yes, this is the last weekend of Premier League action before we focus on the 2022 FIFA Qatar World Cup. But yeah, to discuss all the action with me is the ever-present Joshua Gaylard, as well as a debutant in studio, we've got Desharj. Patab, I hope I said that correctly. Desh,
that's
good,
right.
Good to have you back in the, well, for the first time making your debut in the Hollywood Bets Hit the Target studio. And yeah.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Josh, quite a familiar seat that you're in.
Last week I did a solo trip. I hope the guys got on. I think I got 7 of 10 picks right with some good value at that. Was pretty decent.
Well, class, as a say in these parts. But yeah, Josh, Premier League football, as I mentioned, early game. I know we have this notion that the early kickoff tends to bring an upset, but could that be the case when Brentford travel to Manchester City this weekend?
Look, my heart hopes so. But no, I don't think that is the case. Brentford haven't won away from home this season. And City haven't drawn at home, let alone lose. So it's a banker, but I think it's 1-7 or something of the sorts. It's not something you want to be tipping. And at the same time, Manchester City, they just look better than they ever have been this season. I had a little bit of a look. And the past 3-4 seasons, I believe, this is their best tally after 13 games. So they are playing phenomenally, and they've scored more than Arsenal, even though they sit second. I'm backing Manchester City here, but at 1-7, it's not something to look forward to. I think the Erling Haaland at 4-10, possible.
Is that an anytime or first?
That's an anytime. And then I think Manchester City, 1-0 or over 2.5 is also roughly 4-10, though. That's something that I'd look at.
Desh, how are you feeling about this fixture?
You know, Man City have played 7 at home in the league. They've won 7 at home in the league. Perfect record. The only other Premier League club that can match that is Arsenal. Yeah. 6 from 6. I'm sure you'd know that, Jesse. Yeah. Of course, being an Arsenal fan.
Music to my ears. Love that stat.
Yeah, so I can only see a City win.
Mm-hmm. So furthermore, 8 from 8.
Yeah, definitely. I think Brentford, they haven't convinced me away from home. On home soil, they've only seen defeat once in the league. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I think only 3 clubs are yet to see defeat.
In fact, it is only Arsenal who beat them at their home ground.
Just throwing that in there. No, thanks. Thanks for letting me.
But yeah, the gentlemen in studio seem to be on the same wavelength. Yeah, Manchester City won this with relative ease, actually. But Josh, are Manchester City winning the league? You and as an Arsenal supporter as well. I know my answer to that question, but obviously it's me posing it. So, are Man City winning the league?
It's hard to just give them the title. They have to work for it. If you ask me if Man City...
I'm asking, will they win the league? That's the question.
More than likely. They need to work for it. They've got a tough challenge in Arsenal. I mean, Arsenal haven't proven over the past couple of seasons that they can challenge. And they've also, in the negative sense, they've proven that they somewhat fumbled last season for top four. And I base that down to having key players missing. Yeah. And if Man City have some key players missing, they could also fumble. Yeah. Most of their players start at their respective countries come this World Cup, whereas Arsenal, it's not the same. So I think that if they come through this unscathed, not that they don't have depth in their squad, but if they come through the World Cup unscathed, then I feel like they take the league.
Yeah, we'll touch on the title race in a moment. But we've got the 5 o'clock kickoffs to look forward to. Bournemouth against Everton. We saw this fixture not so long ago, a couple of days ago as well, in the Carabao Cup. Desh?
Shell-shocked.
Before we carry on, like, you have to mention to the listeners.
Okay, sorry. My apologies. If you're out there listening, I know Desh is making his debut. I didn't want to really put him on the spot that much, but Desh is actually an Evertonian supporter. He's a toffee. I shook hands with him this morning and I had to wash it. He's that guy. Desh, talk to us about your team. Everton, yeah. They traveled to the Vitality Stadium this weekend.
You know, I actually thought that we had a shot at an FA Cup or, you know, EFL Cup or something, but the team is just in disarray. Defensively, we started really well. I think at one stage, I think six games in, we had the meanest defense in the league. I think we only shipped like five or six goals. Pickford has been outstanding. I haven't been his greatest fan, but this season he has definitely
should
proved
he be
me.
England's number one?
Should he? Probably. Probably. Think so? I think Nick Pope is a good second. Aaron Ramsdale as well. Very good.
I was just about to say, someone you're forgetting there.
No, of course.
I mean, Pope and Ramsdale both have six clean sheets this season.
Look at that. What a stat. And Newcastle as well. From back to front, each player is outperforming
just
themselves.
Just put them in the World Cup. I wish we could do it.
Everton. So it's been, we've had a very bad run of form recently. Of course, I think we got smashed by Bournemouth by 4-1, I think it was.
Does that have any factor going into this weekend's Premier League tie? Of course, two different competitions. Some other Everton fans, the other three of them would say, you can sort of draw a line through this. But what does a fourth Evertonian fan think?
I see. I think it's a draw. I don't know if...
Is that your optimism talking?
No, I think this is my reality talking. Yeah, to see two L's from a team that was in a championship like not so long ago.
Yeah. You should be confident of a
point. I can't see a league defeat. Mm-hmm. A cup competition, I can understand. But a league defeat would just be... probably be thinking Lampard's job will come under scrutiny if we lose that one. This is the last season at Goodison Park. We're coming through the new stadium, Bramley Dock. Mm-hmm. Very, very ostentatious.
It's now or never. We've seen what happens to teams when they move stadiums and the planning and the money that goes behind it. So Everton were big spenders. Another Alisher Usmanov, his name is from Arsenal. He had shares in Arsenal and he moved to Everton. So he's obviously been injecting a lot of money there.
Yeah.
So that, we don't know how much that could change in the upcoming seasons, but interesting times lie ahead for Everton.
It was Usmanov and Farhad Moshiri. Mm. I believe he's Iranian.
Yeah.
I think the two of them were in Arsenal, but now I think Moshiri is the owner of Everton and he has had the Usmanov money, but I believe he's paid him out. So. Yeah. It's very much his project, his baby. He obviously brought in Ancelotti, James Rodriguez. Mm-hmm.
Richarlison as well.
Yeah. I think Marcus Silva brought in Richarlison. But he's kept some of the senior staff. I think Bill Kenwright is still at Everton.
Yeah.
He's retained him.
Our listeners definitely know who that is. Lucas, I'm sure you can go on and on all day about Everton, but...
We've got bigger fish to fry.
Bigger fish to fry. Josh, talk to me about Liverpool and Southampton. It's a fixture that we wish we had done here because it's the first team against the second team. Liverpool, they haven't really sort of sparked much optimism, but quite impressive against Tottenham last week. And then they go and rest all their players and more in midweek against Derby. And then now they turn to league action.
They were lucky to get away with their penalty victory against Derby, I believe. Before I carry on, it's actually pretty interesting listening to someone go so in-depth on Everton. It's refreshing and get to learn a bit as well. Back to the fixture. Sometimes...
We've got to make this podcast limited edition. Normally, for more Everton info, tune in to...
Normally, this is the fixture that Donovan goes missing, even though his team is doing good.
Yeah.
They're not doing amazing, but I think this is the bad time for the World Cup to come for Liverpool. I feel like they're finally getting into a little bit of a stride. The Champions League victories, finishing top, and then also getting a big win against City, a big win against, well, there was a bit of a blip against Forest, but a big win against Tottenham as well. Salah finally getting his scoring boots on, being in the right place at the right time.
Dire lacing those scoring boots.
Yeah. A dire situation there. Yeah, I think this is the wrong time for the World Cup to come for Liverpool. And then we're also missing a big point. So the sale of the club is a possibility now. Yeah. Lots of Liverpool fans deleting all their tweets about oil money with the possible state-owned ownership in the near future. In terms of a betting aspect, Liverpool win this one. I think Salah wants to still, he's not in the World Cup, so he needs to still put a bit of a effort out this weekend, just to let the rest of the world know he is still a great player.
Yeah.
And I think he scores, yeah. I'm not too sure what the odds are on him scoring any time.
9-10 last time I checked.
That's decent enough. It's better than 1-4 for Liverpool to win.
Liverpool to win, yeah.
Definitely, I think they will.
Nottingham Forest against Crystal Palace, one that obviously not many viewers, maybe Desh, in fact, you surprised us. probably give us the history of Nottingham Forest, but what's...
I believe they're owned by the Grimaldi. I think the Grimaldi family actually owns them. They recently gave Steve Cooper a renewed contract. He was, to me, looked like he was on the way out, and they offered him a new contract.
Yeah.
I believe they brought in a sporting director who was formerly at Watford.
Mm-hmm.
Watford, as you know, ran through, I think, 3 managers at one season, or in the final season in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nigel Pearson was the last, and he shocked me. I thought he should have definitely got the job, but they didn't give him the contract, and they ended up going down.
Mm.
But there was a lot of movement in there in the transfer window, and I think they've got a good acquisition in that sporting director. Obviously, showing faith in Steve Cooper, which I don't know is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe they brought in over 20 players, so that squad is still gelling.
Yeah,
it's
going to take more time.
I know Steve Cooper. He did well. He guided Swansea to the Championship playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Where they lost up to Brentford, and that's how Brentford got into the Premier League, you know. So he has done well in the Championship. Premier League, I know he got a big win against Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Was it last time out?
I think a couple of weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. Yeah, so, I mean, once you have, and a skull like Anfield, like Liverpool, like, gosh.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, on the other hand, are doing well. I know they beat West Ham, I think it was last time out. Mm. Wolfred Zaha.
Beautiful streak
in London, so they haven't had the best record in London derbies last season.
Mm-hmm.
This season they look to be starting well. Against Forest, I think it's going to be a smash and grab type of job because their confidence is really high in the Forest camp. I think they beat Tottenham Hotspur in the EFL.
Yeah,
with Jesse Lingard scoring over there, so good to see him back on a score sheet. I believe
how good is that? I don't think that's good at all. Can't stand Jesse Lingard.
Okay. Well, look, he's on 200. I believe it's rumored to be 200 a week.
Yeah.
So that's sort of investment.
On a 1-year contract.
Just full of stats, aren't you?
On a 1-year contract.
Yeah. But Josh, Nottingham Forest, Crystal Palace, it seems like, got to agree with Desh, they smash and grab type of fixture.
Mm.
But who's smashing, who's grabbing?
I mean, I don't think anybody's smashing or grabbing. I think this is a head-on collision. It's a draw.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like Tesh said, Nottingham Forest had a good result midweek, but they still, like, I can't be confident in backing Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Away from home, Palace has been poor. I think it's 1 in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
1 in 5 or 6, probably somewhere along those lines. And the winner, the one win was last weekend against West Ham.
Yeah.
And that they had to wait all the way till the 90th minute for a deflected goal.
Shows their grit as well.
They definitely got some grit. I mean, they've got a manager who showed grit in his career and in his managerial career so far as well. But I think this is a head-on collision. It's a draw.
Tottenham against Leeds. Leeds have been one of those teams that just never seem to go away. We think that they always too exposed at the back and they just let the opposition in. But they somehow remain, you know, consistent in the way they play, consistent in the results they achieve, and very true to themselves. They're not going to go down the season. At least I can't see that happening. Tottenham, I'm not too sure what the situation is there, because they're getting results here and there. Of course, Liverpool fixture didn't go their way, but Tottenham are that team that will get results. But Josh, it doesn't look attractive, does it?
No, it doesn't at all. I think that they can still remain in their top four places. I feel like, and purely based on the other team's form at the moment, because they still do grind out some results, whereas the other teams, they don't look to be able to do what Tottenham can do at the moment. And Tottenham just aren't winning against the bigger teams. Mm-hmm. When you bring Leeds into the equation, I think Leeds are a bit too vulnerable on the counter. And they obviously did extremely well to come back against Bournemouth and win it 4-3. What a thriller. But to go down 3-1 against Bournemouth, if Tottenham put away two, you're not breaking them down after that. No matter how hard you try, and like Leeds do, they continuously press, they carry on, but you're not breaking Tottenham down after that. Mm-hmm. I think, in this fixture, it'll be interesting to see. I know a lot of Tottenham fans are saying one half is totally different from the other. Mm-hmm. Like against Liverpool, they were totally outplayed in the first half and then somehow they just came alive in the second. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out in this fixture. But I think Tottenham get the win, yeah.
For me, it's a bit harder to predict a winner. Mm. I think there's going to be goals in this one. I actually thought Jesse March was on his way out. Four straight league losses. Mm. And then he goes and wins at Liverpool. What is that, you know? Yeah.
Players are definitely fighting for him.
Yeah.
So I know Rodrigo opened a scoring there, capitalized on a back pass by Joe Gomez. Very good center forward play from him. We know he brings something different that Bamford doesn't. And Rodrigo started the season off on fire. I think he had like three goals in like two games or there's some.
Yeah.
He started very well. And Tottenham, you know, with Son being ruled out, I think he's only available till after the World Cup.
I think he'll play he goes during to the World Cup, Cup yeah. but not for Tottenham. Meaning this fixture, obviously.
I see. So he's ruled out. And
he's ruled out this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and you just look like Lucas Moura is not part of the squad. Richarlison is more a Champions League player than a league player.
He hasn't scored in the league yet.
He hasn't scored in the league, you see. So is that Kulusevski is, I don't know what's
he's back now. He returned against Liverpool.
But he's not back in the goals. Do you know what I mean? Like it's only Harry Kane. And if you can keep Kane quiet, then that's probably Hoiberg will pop up now and again, you know. So it should be. I think there's goals in this one, but
so just
don't
both
know.
Teams to score.
Yeah, probably.
Play a safe bet. Want to dive into Chelsea and talk about them a bit more because I feel like there's a lot to discuss there. But just quickly before that, we've got the West Ham and Leicester fixture that we haven't touched on. Josh, thoughts there?
So you can't say quickly on this one. It's going to be actually an entertaining game. But just to give a prediction, I think both teams to score, West Ham were in fine form before their loss last weekend, which was dying moments. And Leicester, obviously, their backline is... I want to sound respectful, but the backline is trash. Mm-hmm. And going forward, they're actually excellent. It'd be shock if
the
James Maddison. it'll be shocking if James Maddison doesn't make that World Cup squad. Mm-hmm. I know the announcement is today, I believe. I think this game is both teams to score here for me. Just a prediction.
Yeah, short and sweet, Desh, West Ham and Leicester.
Look, Leicester. Here's a stat for you. Leicester have scored the most goals away from home, but have lost 5 of 7.
So they're scoring.
They've got the worst defense ever, if you can hold that kind of stat.
Imagine that. Yeah. No team has scored more goals away from home than Leicester have, but they've lost 5 of 7 away from home. That's quite crazy.
Quite incredible. I think that has to be stats of... the week. It's
crazy.
Or the month.
Crazy.
It's going into
crazy.
The World Cup, that's this kind of stat you need. But Newcastle and Chelsea, before we get into our predictions, Josh, I want to ask you about Chelsea. Chelsea have been that team that have been super ambitious. We know what they're all about. But this season, we've seen a bit of a change. And I don't know if it's the change in ownership, but we went from Roman Abramovich to Todd Bowley, who's... Yes, he's injected the money, the highest spenders, but I'm questioning some of the ambition. We saw last week Arsenal smacking Chelsea around. Ramsdale didn't have a shot to make or a shot to save. And Chelsea were just completely outplayed, outfought, dominated. And that 1-0 actually seemed quite quite generous to Chelsea, I would say. During the Roman era, that never ever happened.
Mm.
The Abramovich era, Chelsea used to smash Arsenal home and away. And
do you remember that Eden Hazard?
Yeah, goal, that we just ran through the whole team.
Prefer not to remember now. What I do remember is three games on the bounce at the bridge.
But that is what I'm nice. Talking about, is that Chelsea have sort of now evolved away from that and sort of come into this team that, like Arsenal have been, and like you can question that the other Man United and so on, where they've given Graham Potter a 6-year contract.
Mm.
Ludicrous.
No one's got a 6-year contract ever, not even a player.
Only Harry Kane.
Under previous Chelsea management, so no player, no coach, no one has ever received a 6-year contract. The best coaches, Mourinho, has been given 2 years plus a year. So are Chelsea rather lacking some of that ambition this season?
I think there is ambition in the way that they spent, but at the same time, I remember when my parents first bought a place, bought the place, obviously for a lot of money, like Bowley and the crew did. And then there's an initial cash injection where, okay, let's fix here, let's fix there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's nothing to do afterwards. You make that, and then that's what you carry. And maybe 5 years later, 6 years later, you have that amount of money again to continue building on your property, or, well, in this case, the squad. Not to say that they won't spend in maybe January, maybe one player. I know that there is talk of Christopher Nkunku coming through and players of the like.
If I can just interrupt you, Josh. Sorry, I'm not questioning Chelsea's ambition to spend. I'm questioning Chelsea's ambition to spend and then do what? Because you can spend, but what are you trying to achieve with the money that you're trying? Are you trying to win the league? Are you trying to get top four? Because every Chelsea fan I've spoken to, or what I'm seeing on social media, is that top four is the target, but if they don't get it, it's not really the end of the world. And I'm thinking, like, hang on, you're the biggest spenders, you're the most ambitious club I certainly grew up watching. What's changed?
I think maybe the trend that basically I feel like Chelsea kind of started, that ruthlessness in sacking a coach if they're not getting instant results. I think maybe that they're trying to move away from that. We've seen it work in our personal experience with Arsenal, whereby there weren't such great results. Yes, they might not have spent in a ton load in the beginning, but it has come with results. Then the spending has been backed a bit more. I think maybe that's the focus for the ownership at the moment, just to be in defense of Chelsea for a bit. But at the same time, you can't miss out on top four by a big margin. If they stay within a 5-point bracket or something of the like, that shows that there is a bit of positivity for the squad. If they're finishing by a big drop off after spending so much, me personally, and I think a lot of other owners, Potter has to go after that. But there's still a lot of football to play.
Yeah. Desh, how you feel about Chelsea's ambition and where they were to where they are now?
I don't think the Premier League is theirs for the next 2 years. I think they're probably looking at Champions League, when the new manager, Potter, came in. I think he's won 3 of 3. They were bottom of their group. They finished as a group winners. That doesn't happen by accident. They drew Borussia Dortmund, which I think they can get past.
Yeah.
I think Potter, his mandate is Champions League. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's to win the Premier League. With Abramovich, I think it was more Premier League dominance. As you say, they smacked a lot of other clubs. It wasn't only Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I mean, Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, they used to dominate Tottenham. You know, anybody in London. I think, you know, they own London.
I think there was a stat the once that they were the only team to have a better head-to-head record over Man United. And no other team held that record over Man United. And that was when Man United were winning 3 league titles in a row.
Yeah.
The Rooney team, Tevez team, Van Nistelrooy, those guys. So Chelsea always had a better record against those kinds of players. So it's just shocking for me to see, like, how do you go from that? And I'm not, look, Josh, you're saying if Potter doesn't make, or if he's outside the top four with 5 points or so, then he sort of needs to get looked at. I don't even say sack Potter. I don't think it's a Potter problem. I actually kind of like him. I think it's an ownership problem where you know, you can't just sort of spend this money and just sort of sit back and plan your vision for 6 years or 5 years. It's not the Chelsea way.
I feel like as an American owner in this aspect, it's more about what they can get from the club from a financial aspect. I don't think they are too concerned about everybody wants to win a title, but I don't feel like they are too concerned about that. I think that Chelsea's become a big brand in world football, and by them going out, I've seen lots of reports of Chelsea looking to acquire another club like how Manchester City have been doing in that respect. Mm. I think it's more about broadening the brand, making Chelsea more have a bigger appeal across the world and stuff of that sort, more than we got to win the league every season.
Yeah. I tell you, I can't see them winning this weekend at Newcastle. I think the best possible result is a draw for Chelsea. But again, it's not what I think. I think it's a Newcastle win. I just asked the questions, and it's all about what you guys think. Dash, you say Newcastle?
Yeah, I think it's a Newcastle win. Eddie Howe has been outperforming himself since he got the job. It's no accident. Mm-hmm. Everybody from Miguel Almiron, you know, Callum Wilson, Bruno Guimaraes, I think he just
Joe Linton as well.
Joe Linton. Yeah. He has turned those players into top-notch quality, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's more or less the same squad that Steve Bruce had.
Yeah.
More or less, you know. They have been
with one or two additions.
Yeah.
Just one or two, though.
I think
Crucial ones.
But yeah, Joe Willock might have been a Steve Bruce acquisition. Yeah. Look at him now. Mm-hmm. Every time, you know, he's getting into the box. I think he might be the fastest player in Newcastle as well. Just a small stat there for you guys.
Josh, Newcastle, Chelsea?
Sounds, this is the banker of the weekend for me. I think Newcastle win this fixture.
And you sang banker of the weekend?
Yes. I think Newcastle win this fixture. In our SBN newspaper, we've got bets of the week. This is Newcastle to win. I think that Chelsea just lack a little bit up front. And obviously they have a bit of injuries in their back line. So that's why everything seems a bit off at the moment. But I think that the players up front just lack a bit of bite for Chelsea, and against a defense that's been phenomenal. Against they've got 6 clean sheets. They tied with Manchester City and Arsenal for that.
It's crazy.
If you want to play a value bet in this banker, you could even go 1-0.
Josh, while I've got you riled up and optimistic, Arsenal against Wolves should be comfortable. Last game before Julian Lopetegui joins after the World Cup.
I don't know about comfortable. I mean, every time I think about Wolves, it's always like a... I mean, remember last season, we were lambasted for over-celebrating late Lacazette.
Oh, yes. I think, I remember
you
that.
Know, stuff like that. So, and then before that, I remember when David Luiz somehow knock somebody down without touching them, and he got a red card and then given a penalty. So every time I think about Wolves, it's always some difficult moment that Arsenal has to try and get over. But this season, getting over difficult moments or maybe getting over a loss, the only loss, it makes it, they've given the fan and myself a little bit more confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think even some of the punters, you can actually be confident in Arsenal winning a fixture this season.
Yeah.
If they win, going into this little break, it'll be phenomenal for Arsenal. And I think against Wolves, Arsenal can get a win, yeah.
Dish?
I agree. I actually think they keep a clean sheet as well.
Yeah.
The Molyneux...
Wait, let me give you that stats, because Arsenal have, 5 clean sheets out of 7 games away from home? Am I wrong?
I must say, I wasn't aware of that. but just that the Molyneux is renowned for not giving away goals. I don't know. Yeah. The whole of last season was Wolves barely scored.
Yeah.
And their oppositions barely scored. Mm-hmm. Lots of 0-0, 1-0s. This season, I haven't really seen what the goals are like, but just historically, looking at empirical data, I'll tell you that the Molyneux is generally for low scoring fixtures. So yeah, but I do think that Arsenal get the win. Wolves obviously brought in Diego Costa, who is not available for this fixture after picking up his red card.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, so you just wonder, like, who's going to be scoring for them? I think Francisco Trincao, who was touted to be the one, he's now at, I think, Sporting Club in Portugal. They brought in Gonzalo Guedes. So I'm not sure what he's all about just yet. Is he going to be the target man? Or is he looking to supply Costa? What's the angle there? I'm not convinced that that they get on the score sheet other than a Ruben Neves penalty or free kick.
Yeah, it would take something special for Wolves to score. I mean, the attacking options are very limited for them. So I also think Arsenal win.
You know, I'm a little bit confused about what the Premier League are doing here. When is the last time we had a 9:45 fixture on a Saturday? Yeah, they're trying to put the pressure on Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, even like the last game, the the game wasn't broadcasted anywhere around the world, and then this one is at Saturday night. You know, people are out partying, having a good time, but hopefully they will get to celebrate the Arsenal victory by midnight. But yeah, two fixtures to look forward to on Sunday: Brighton and Aston Villa, as well as Fulham and Man United. Before we touch on the big one being Fulham and Man United, your thoughts quickly on the Brighton and Villa fixture?
That's going to be a real nail biter. I think both clubs.
Unai Emery's second game.
Definitely. I think he, and winning the first one, I think they smashed United 3-1. And that one was an own goal.
Yeah.
It wasn't even scored by United players. So
I think
it's a Villa win.
Sure. Josh?
I think that fixture was only the fourth player. I found it funny, so I remember it. The fourth player to score an own goal. Probably. I think to score an own goal, to assist and to score a goal was Jacob Ramsey, eh?
Yeah, he's been in the thick of things.
Yeah, I think that is only the fourth player in Premier League history. That is an interesting one. That's why I remember it. It's an interesting fixture. Like, I feel like Unai Emery always sets up well for big teams. I think I mentioned this in the podcast last week. Only I remember. And the listeners out there. He sets up well for big fixtures, but the Brighton's not a minnow, and they are playing really well at the moment. They just weren't getting.
You think he goes conservative?
I think they just weren't. Brighton just weren't getting results up until they lost, I think, 3 now. And against Aston Villa, they're playing at home. The last time they played at home, they won 4-1.
Who did they beat?
They beat Chelsea. Aubameyang wasn't on it that day. Neither was he the last day. I remember when Arsenal players used to go to Chelsea. Chelsea players used to come to Arsenal to retire. Yeah. Now it seems like that roles have reversed. Anyway, back to this fixture. I think Brighton can get a win here. I think, yes, Aston Villa will be a bit more confident, but Unai changes tactics a little bit too much sometimes when it's a big fixture or a little bit of a small fixture, whereas it looks like the Italian manager at Brighton, he has his team playing in a set way, and they can get goals in this fixture.
So how do you back in Brighton to score? Brighton. Now the team that you just touched on losing last week to Aston Villa's Man United, how do they bounce back from the setback? Of course, they're on the road again.
It'll be interesting to see based on the fact that they play them this evening. Aston Villa again. Man United play Aston Villa again this evening. Man United, they had a good trajectory, I think, with the new manager. He didn't have enough time in the beginning of the season.
There are some stop-start moments.
Yeah, stop-start moments. I feel like he's dealt extremely well with Ronaldo. He's put himself in a...
I fully disagree, but
I feel like he's put himself in a win-win situation with Ronaldo, because when Ronaldo was acting up, so to speak, when he was acting up, Ten Hag punished him. And at the same time, he brought him into the squad. He gave him the captain's armband because, yes, it's Ronaldo. He is the most experienced man in the squad. He's won everything. He's done everything. So, like when he put him in last week when they lost, he basically, if Ronaldo came in and he scored, Ten Hag gets all the praise because he put him in, he gave him the captain's armband, even after a difficult situation. And the fact that they went out and they lost, it's still a win-win for him in relation to Ronaldo. Whereas they still, he went on, he didn't do it, and now it backs his thing of putting him on the bench in the future if he needs to.
And I know we're going over time here, but Josh, if I come in to the office and just disrespect my teammates and disrespect everyone around me, disrespect the brand or the company that I'm working for, the club, and then I get punished, rightly so, do I then deserve, because I'm a big player or because I've got a reputation, do I then deserve to be promoted to, I don't know, team leader or whatever it is the following week? What type of example is that setting? And that's the thought that I'm thinking, man, is because if I'm a teammate or if I'm a player in that dressing room and I see Ronaldo's been handed the captaincy armband after his antics last week, I'm thinking, she was...
He got punishment. At the same time...
So it's done now, in the past.
Ten Hag is the manager. For me, I feel like the ownership wants Ronaldo there. They want to market him. They want him on the field. So I feel like Ten Hag has done the right thing. Mm-hmm. Because the ownership, the institution wants Ronaldo on the field. The institution wants Ronaldo in the headlines. Mm-hmm. And he makes them, whether it's for bad reasons or good reasons. I feel like when I say Ten Hag made the right decisions, he's put himself in a position where if he plays him, it's fine. It doesn't matter. And if you put him on the bench, it doesn't matter, because I've showed that I've disciplined him when I needed to. So it sets the standard for the rest of the players, mm-hmm. like he's wanted to do. And at the same time, it puts... puts him in a position to, if he does put him on the field, it's perfect. Oh, he is still playing Ronaldo, the best player, mm-hmm. for most people's opinions. But if he doesn't, if he wins the game, it looks good for Ten Hag. If they lose the game, it's fine for Ten Hag in that aspect, because we see how it's been dealt with.
Do they win this weekend?
Yeah, I think United do win this weekend.
Dish, United, do they win this weekend?
I think it's a tough one to call. I think both teams score. And in fact, I think Andreas Pereira of Fulham score. Formerly,
story there.
He does. Formerly of Manchester United. Went on loan. Went to Lazio. You know, now he's at Fulham. I think it's a permanent transfer, mm-hmm. if not mistaken. And he is in the right up there in terms of the numbers. Pereira has got five goal involvements in his previous six league appearances. Three assists, two goals. Mm-hmm. One coming from the penalty spot last time out against Man City. Not an easy finish, but he did it with ease. And I think he actually gets...
Well, unlucky
gets
not to get that draw against Man City.
And the trajectory...
I think it was a soft penalty, but maybe that's my bias eyes.
Mm.
Yeah, so,
it's not soft. What's our guy in South Africa, Mr. Spot On? He says it doesn't matter whether it's soft, hard, sunny side up. We're not talking about eggs. It's a penalty. It's a penalty.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But Man United.
I think both teams are score, and Pereira just why not?
It isn't anytime goal scorer quite the subplot. Dish, I just want to thank you one more time before we close, just for joining us for the first time, letting us pick your brain a bit, and you know those stats were hopefully insightful for all our punters or listeners out there. And Josh, as always, last week fantastic job solo. Now the band's back together. Hopefully it's a happy weekend for us as well as all our punters.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.